Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. I want to wish all of the mothers today a very happy Mother's Day. I realize that for some of us, Mother's Day is not the happiest of days. And for some of us, it's mixed. It's a day of mixed emotions. We're happy, we're sad, we're missing people. But wherever you're at today, I pray and I hope that you will be encouraged by God's Word. We begin our series, What Really Matters? What does really matter? Well, in the beginning of this pandemic, some people thought it was all about toilet paper. I think we've ruled that out. It's not that important. You know, some things are overrated in life. One thing that's not overrated, family. Another thing that's a part of family, motherhood. Not overrated. So today, we're going to take a look at a number of passages in Scripture. One of them is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and I think we're very familiar with it. The Apostle Paul says these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I cannot think of a single calling in life that requires faith, hope, and love more than motherhood. I believe God has a good word for us this morning. And now Joe and Joey are going to share a song with us.
Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child. of God. I am a child of God.
This morning, we're going to look at three mothers. But only two of them have children. A little bit of a riddle for you. I think you'll figure it out before too long. I want to open with a passage of scripture that's going to be key for understanding our message today, and especially a couple of the people we're going to talk about. The passage is found in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 34. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" The very words of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. I pray that you'd inspire us today. I pray especially that you'd inspire the mothers. You'd inspire those that are yet to become mothers, but want to. And Father, I pray that you'd bring comfort to those of us that are missing our mothers today. Wherever we're at today, I know that you can reach us, and I pray you'd do it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this passage that we just read, none of the things are super difficult to do. We could do them. They require love, though. The call to follow Jesus is simple, but it's not always easy. I want to begin by telling you a story about a little girl. I call her Sweet Little Agnes. When she was only 8 years old, tragedy struck her family. Her father, who was a businessman, had a lot of competition. In all likelihood, he was murdered. They don't know for sure, but it seemed that he was poisoned. And not only did he die, but after dying, his business partner absconded with all of the company assets, which plunged Sweet Little Agnes, 8-year-old girl, her two sisters, and her mother into poverty. Her mom took some sewing jobs into the home, but still, they went through hard times. But in the midst of these hard times, her mother, whose name is Drana, listen to some of the things that she did. She was an amazing mother. She looked after the poor and sick people in her neighborhood while she and her family were going through hard times. Every week, she visited one poor woman and brought her food and also cleaned her home. In addition to that, little Agnes remembers that her mother would take care of people who were sick. And she remembers specifically one woman who had sores all over her body. And she remembers how kind her mother was to her. And then there was a woman in the neighborhood, a widow, who passed away. And when that happened, Drana welcomed her children into her family. Now, to witness something like that, I think, would make quite an impact on a small child, don't you think? But in spite of all these things that little Agnes went through, she remembers having a happy childhood. Her family, she and her sisters and her mom, they were very involved in their church. Not only that, she learned how to play the mandolin. Mandolin's one of my favorite instruments. I try to think of a song that has a mandolin in it that I don't like, and I can name a bunch that do. Yeah. Drana was an amazing mom. But we wouldn't know about Drana if it wasn't for Sweet Little Agnes. See, Agnes is the mother that I mentioned that doesn't have any children. And I know some of you are like, well, she can't be a mother, but some of you have figured it out already. We don't know her as Agnes. We know her as Mother Teresa. And growing up, I can only imagine the impact that Drana had on little Agnes. I wonder what Drana prayed for Agnes Here she was, a young widow with three children, left to provide for them. And she made an incredible impact. And we're going to talk about the life of Mother Teresa this morning. But before we do that, I just really want to give a shout out to this woman, Drana, that we don't know that much about. We would know nothing about her if her daughter didn't happen to be one of the most famous women of the 20th century. And we'll get to why she became that woman and how she became so popular and well-known and loved. But I believe that Mother Teresa, when she was a little girl, she learned from her mother, not from just reading a book, from seeing and doing. We learn so much when we see and we do. Now, I know that a lot of people are going through e-learning right now. I've made some new friends in our community because I'm out walking a lot. There's a guy down the street, his name is Scott. And I saw Scott a couple times, just happened to walk by while he's shooting baskets. And I'd tell him, $5 if you make the shot. For a while, I was doing really well. Now, there was no money actually exchanged, we were just having fun. And then one morning, I saw him out there, he's having a bowl of cereal in his garage. And he says, no hoops today. A little bit later, I saw him up in the park and we chatted some. He's a high school teacher. He's probably about 25 years old. He's a teacher in Colorado, but he's home here because of the pandemic. So the other day I was up in the park and he was there with his computer and he was doing e-learning, e-teaching. And I asked him, I said, how is that going for you? And he said, well, it's going pretty well. But I love what he said. He said, this isn't what I signed up for. I really wanted to make a difference in young people's lives. And I don't feel like I can do it this way. There's something about human contact, isn't there? We've got a woman in our church, she's north of 90. She's amazing. But she'll say she's technologically challenged. Well, so am I. But I love what she said. She said, I need someone to show me how to do it. Isn't that true with so many things in life? We need someone to show us how to do it. And little Agnes had Drana to show her how to do things. Yeah, I think that's really significant. So then Agnes decides that she wants to become a sister. Well, she studied in France and she studied in Ireland. I think she also studied in England. Studied English, studied all sorts of things. But she felt a call to go to India. But that call wasn't exactly what we remember her for. She was a teacher and she was a beloved teacher. For 20 years she taught and she did make a difference. Just like my new friend Scott down the street. I think that's why most people become teachers. They want to make a difference. So many of us do the things that we do because we want to make a difference in somebody else's life. We want to have a legacy that goes beyond just what we do and just selfishness. She made an incredible impact teaching. But after doing so for 20 years, she felt a call to not only work with the poorest of the poor, but to live with them. And she got a lot of resistance at first. And people kind of thought, well, that's crazy. You're already living in very simple conditions. But she was determined because she really felt that God had spoken to her heart. This was the turning point in her life. If she hadn't been faithful in that, I wouldn't be talking about Mother Teresa right now. She may have been a woman who was a great teacher at a school in India, and a lot of her students would remember her, but I don't know that the entire world would know who Mother Teresa is. No, this was a turning point for her. I wonder for how many of us right now we're going through a turning point, or we anticipate that we will be. I see the unemployment numbers, and we know that we're taking some steps to get back to normalcy, but I think most of us realize it's going to be a while, and this is going to be something that's going to mark all of our lives. This will always be a season that we look back to where certain things changed. If we're faithful to God in the seasons that are crossroads, that can be turning points, I think it's really important. Mother Teresa was. In retrospect, Mother Teresa remembered those years most fondly. But do you know what she said? Leaving her home, leaving Europe, and going to India, that was not that difficult. It was much more challenging to leave her safe environs and to go and to live amongst the poorest of the poor. I hope that inspires us that even though some things that God might put before us might not be simple or easy to do, that we'd be faithful. Because that's one of the things we remember Mother Teresa for. I think Chuck Colson had one of her sayings right on his desk. Faithful, not successful. That's what God asks of us. He grades the success. We don't need to worry about it. Faithfulness is what matters. I want to mention this about Mother Teresa. She had no power. She was not the most powerful woman in the world. I just asked Alexa, how tall was Mother Teresa? She was 5 feet tall. And I think by the end of her life, I don't think she was 5 feet tall anymore. My mother was 5 foot four for most of her life. Towards the end of her life, she was about 4 foot 10. Mother Teresa was 5 feet tall. She didn't have a lot of power. She wasn't elected to any office that gave her power. But what she had was authority. Authority is different than power. And we live in a power-crazed, power-hungry world where people want to have power. Mother Teresa didn't have that. And yet she'd be invited places like the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., or to Harvard to do a commencement service. Or she was invited to Oslo, Norway, to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And when she would speak to folks, people would listen. She sat down with the most powerful man in the world in the 1980s, Ronald Reagan. And people asked Reagan, what did you tell her? His response, well, I didn't say anything. I just listened. It's Mother Teresa. You listen. Mayor Ed Koch, New York City. He said it was impossible to say no to her. Why couldn't you say no to her? She's 5 feet tall. She couldn't weigh 100 pounds. She didn't have power. She had authority. Where does authority come from? Authority comes from self-sacrificial love. She earned it in the streets and the gutters of Calcutta. And people had an incredible respect for Mother Teresa. She would get up in front of groups of people here in the United States, and she would straighten people out. She'd square them up and straighten them out. She would say things that Tony Campolo said, if I got up there, they would laugh me off the stage. With her, they applaud. Why? Because she had authority. Willard Waller from Walla Walla, Washington, was a sociologist. And he came up with this whole concept that you can either have power or love, but you really don't have both. But the person who loves the most in a relationship has the least power. Think about it. It makes pretty much sense. But the person who loves has authority. And moms, I want you to know this. The million and one sacrifices that you make for your children, they get that. You have an authority. Oh, sometimes you think that they don't listen. They don't forget either. And they may not listen when you really want them to. But somewhere down the road, I think they remember the things that moms say. This whole thing about love, power, and authority, it's an extremely interesting discussion. We don't have time to go into the whole thing today. But Napoleon Bonaparte, he recognized it. He said, I have power. I can order those men over there to march into that battle, and if they die, they die. And they have no choice but to listen to me because I have power over them. But they don't want to do it. Many of them simply do it because they have to. But he recognized that Jesus Christ is completely different. He said, there are people who are willing to die for Jesus Christ. They want to because they respond to his authority. Mother Teresa was a woman with great authority. And she exercised it for the benefit of other people. One of the things that she said to the power-hungry, affluent nations in the West, the first world countries, if you will, she said that we have a spiritual poverty. We might have all of the stuff that we need, but we're lacking something inside. And she had the courage to speak truth to power. She said it in love, and people listened. Amazing woman. She was courageous. She faced opposition all the time. She has this dream, this 5 foot woman, 5 foot tall woman in Calcutta, and she says, yeah, well, I want to reach and take care of all the poorest of the poor. I want to drag the dying people off the streets and let them die, maybe for the first time feeling human touch and the love of another human being. I mean, who's going to help her do that? Well, she found out that a lot of her former students, because she was a great teacher, they joined her. She found that she had a growing order. When all these other religious orders were shrinking, hers was growing exponentially. But she was courageous with opposition. So at one point, the city of Calcutta gave her what used to be a hostel. And this hostel was in terrible shape. And so she got in there with her sisters, and they cleaned up the place. And they started dragging people in there, people that were covered with vomit and sores. And they would love on these people until they were no more here on earth. That's what they did. But it happened to be right next to a prominent Hindu temple. And there were people that were upset about it. As a matter of fact, a group of Hindus came by under the direction of a political leader who was a Hindu. And they came armed with rocks and stones. And their goal was to get Mother Teresa and her sisters out of there. Well, Mother Teresa was aware of that. So did she hide inside? No, she comes outside. Who's in charge out here? So she finds the guy. She says, I'd like to give you a tour of the facility. And so he disappears. He goes inside for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. When he comes back out, this group of people who are with him, they ask him, can we do what we came here to do? No more delays. And he said, yes, you can, if your sisters and your mothers are willing to do what she's doing in there. Wow. Mother Teresa had a way of winning over people who were against her. And you know, they didn't just drag Christians in there. They dragged Muslims and Hindus in. If you were dying, if you were destitute, Sister Teresa, Mother Teresa, and her sisters, they were there for you. And that's why she had the authority that she did. A courageous, courageous woman. Now, some of you right now are thinking, okay, you had me till you mentioned the dragging these folks in there, and that's just not for me. But you know, the things that Jesus said that I quoted at the beginning of the message, taking care of people who are sick, sometimes it's just a visit. Do you know what it means to somebody if you go visit them when they're in prison? When everybody else has counted them out, that you show up? I've had a chance to do that. People remember it. People remember when you visit them when they're sick. When people are hungry, when they're in need of a meal, any of those things, we can do those. But I got to tell you about somebody that I met this past week at a local supermarket. He works at the butcher shop. And I forget what I was getting that day, but he so impressed me. He pulled his mask on. He's got a big smile on his face. He reminds me of John Sally. If you remember who John Sally is, if you've been watching The Last Dance, you've probably seen him. He used to play for the Bad Boy Pistons, shook the Bulls' hands, and then he played for the Bulls. But he's always got a smile on his face. That's what this guy reminds me of. So I wanted him to be able to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day, but I went to the supermarket yesterday and he wasn't there. But I went and I asked about him. And I said, there's a guy that's always smiling here. And the woman behind the counter just looked at me with a big smile on her face. She said, that's David. I mean, there was no question. She knew exactly who I was talking to. I'm going to go back tomorrow and I'm going to try to get him on video. We'll see if I can do that because I'd like you to meet him. Do you know why? Because a couple days before that, I was back there window shopping. I wasn't going to buy any meat that day, but I'm checking on the prices and everything. And he looks at me and he says, can I help you? And I said, no, just window shopping. And then I said, and also, I wanted to come back here because you are so positive. I appreciate what you do back here. Look, we can all do things like that. We can all be the positive person, sometimes in a room full of negative people. Okay. Back to the story. She was a very, very courageous woman. Stood up. Now, I mentioned that there was a third mom. There was. I want to talk about her. She had three children, but she really dreamed of a large family. Her name was Mary. Mary dreamed of having a lot of children, but it seemed like it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, three children were great, but she had a miscarriage. And you know, with what I do, I talk to women who have miscarriages. It's painful. But she didn't just have one miscarriage or two. And I know that she was praying throughout this whole period of time that she couldn't have her fourth child. She suffered five miscarriages. And I don't know the whole story, but I know that she prayed. And I know that, I think she kind of made a deal with God. And one of the things was that for over 30 years, she never touched a drop of alcohol. Well, God heard her prayers. And she had a fourth child. And she had a fifth child, both boys. I want to mention this to you moms out there. Sometimes you think God doesn't hear your prayers. I say this to my wife often. God hears your prayers. And I know that I've seen the demographics. Almost any church, and when I look on Facebook and I look at the stats, we definitely draw in more women watching than men. I just want you ladies to know, God hears your prayers. Well, he did for Mary. I don't know what the whole bargain was, but God heard her prayers. She had these two more boys. Mary passed away a decade ago. And those two youngest sons that she had, most of you have figured it out. It's me and my brother Rick. Yeah, we're the two lads that didn't even make it into altar boys. That did not please my mother when we got kicked out because she always wished she could have been in that kind of position. Yeah, Rick and I were hooligans growing up, but now we're the living legacy of our mom. And she's long gone, but I wonder sometimes what she prayed. And I find it very interesting that her living legacy, long after she's gone, are these two boys that never would have thought they were going to be preachers. You can ask Rick. But now we're here, she's gone, and we're preaching the good news of Jesus. And if you wonder, Rick was the one that really got us kicked out of altar boys, but don't tell him I said that. What's your living legacy going to be? What are your prayers that are going to be answered long after you're gone? You think about that? Is the vision for your life, and this is for men, this is for everybody, is your dream for something bigger than just what you're going to see in your lifetime? Rick and I are the direct result of prayers that were prayed well over 60 years ago. In the mid-1950s, a woman in Chicago was praying a prayer to God, and he heard it, and he answered it. After Mother Teresa died in 1997, we found out some things about her that we probably wouldn't have imagined. And so many of us viewed her as this spiritual giant, this person we couldn't identify with who served in the streets of Calcutta. But we found out something after she died that maybe a lot of us can identify a little bit better with. And that's that she struggled with her faith. The mountaintop experience she had was in 1946-47, and she sensed the presence of God in an incredible way. But she experienced a painful spiritual dryness in the latter years of her life. It was difficult for her, and yet she was still faithful, and she served. I think a lot of us struggle with doubts at times, especially when things go wrong. Maybe some of us are struggling with doubts about this whole pandemic. I love the encounter that Jesus had with that one man that said something about, well, I believe, and Jesus is like, what's going on here? And he says, Lord, I believe, and help me with my unbelief. We can even come to Jesus with our unbelief and say, help me with that. We don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. I take comfort in that. So I think of Drana, Mother Teresa's mom, and I think of, what did she pray? What did she pray for Agnes and for her other girls? I wonder about that. I think about what my mom actually prayed back in the 1950s. I was very close with my mom, but I never asked. It wasn't my place to ask. But I know that over the course of those years, there had to be a number of things that she prayed. And I think about Mother Teresa. And I want to remind you, she's the one that had no children. So some of you out there today might be women that you wanted to have children, but you don't. And she had no children. And she had doubts. But she also had a lot of prayers. And God heard her prayers and answered them. Do you know that last count that she started with just a handful of sisters that worked with her? There's over 4,000 women that are following in her footsteps today. There's over 4,000 women, over 400 men, just all over the world doing the same kinds of things, simple things with great love for people who desperately need it. Yeah, that's amazing. So I hope each and every one of you mothers out there and each and every one of you prayers out there will take this to heart. That all three women that we've talked about today, their prayers are still being answered. They haven't been on this planet for decades, combined many, many decades, and yet their prayers are still being answered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're a good God. Help us to have a vision that's bigger than our lifetime. Help us to recognize that the things that you put in our heart, we may never see come to fruition, but help us to plant the seeds that someday will, even though we won't be around here on earth to see it. Father, I pray for folks out there that are hurting today. They're missing their moms. I pray that you'd bring your comfort Father, I pray for mothers that are missing children today, and I pray that you would bring them a comfort that only you can. And Lord, I pray that for all of us, that we would turn our hearts towards you during this unique season that all of us are going through together, and that we would find you as never before, and that you would inspire us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One more song, and then I'll be back.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Your rich in love, heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. My soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. holy name.
One closing thought on Mother's Day 2020. Coming from someone who wishes, I wish my mom were still here. I wish I could take her out to dinner or drop dinner off for her. If your mom is still alive, I just encourage you, live for no regrets. One of the great blessings of my life, one of the things that makes me a rich man, is I have no regrets with my mother nor my father. Live for no regrets. And if you can, bring a meal over to her. And how about send her a card, even when it's not Mother's Day? Yeah. The things we do that we don't have to do, those things are really special. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.